the EC has admitted that over 3,957 voters have been deleted wrongfully. When we gave them the evidence, they said that, oh, they transferred these people illegally, and in an attempt to restore them, they mistakenly deleted their name. If the NDC had not detected it, the matter would not have even come for discussion, and those people would have been disenfranchised.
Okay.
There is also no debate about that.
You gave the EC a 1 week ultimatum. It's about to expire. Have you heard anything from them? If by the time you haven't heard from them, what is the party intending to do?
Please, we have already said that. If I can use the limited time I have to deal with the issues you raised. On Pusiga, what happened in Pusiga was not an idea.
I want to, because you gave the ultimatum. I listened to you. You gave a 1 week ultimatum. And I'm asking that it's about to expire. Have you heard from them? If by the time it does, you don't, what will you do?
To respond to. As for what we will do, we have already said it. What I am saying is that what happened in Pusiga has never happened in the history of this country. That voters will be transferred without their notice, without their knowledge, in absentia. I dare anybody to show me when we have such an incident in the history of this country.
I'm grateful to you. Sammy Jenfi, there is national organizer of the is national communications officer of the NDC. We also heard earlier from Henry Nanabuachi, who is MPP's national organizer. This has been Top Story. Thanks to Telecel and Holy Incense Spray and Coil. Up next is Newsnight.
It's 79 days to the 2024 presidential and parliamentary elections. Good evening and welcome to Newsnight.
In the next 60 minutes, standoff between Ghana Police Service and Fix the Country protesters as the service fights off accusations it is attempting to prevent the group from going ahead with its intended three-day protest.
Following our assessment, police concluded that holding the demonstration at that location, that is the Revolution Square in front of the Jubilee House, could affect public order.
Meanwhile, the protesters are standing their ground, insisting they will only demonstrate opposite the Jubilee House or at the site of the National Cathedral, as they demand an urgent meeting with the police.
We have written to the police and we said to them that we are requesting for them to have an urgent crisis meeting tomorrow morning. We are waiting to hear back from them. Because now there, if they insist that it is not possible to do this, where the alternative proposal is to have us have an excursion at the grounds of where was proposed to be the site of the National Cathedral.
In a No to Galamsey campaign, the Ghana Veterinary Association is tonight warning that illegal mining activities will lead to animal mutations, which result in the emergence of new, potentially more deadly diseases like Ebola. Stay with us for that. Also tonight, minority demands full-scale audit of energy sector, alleging gross mismanagement of the sector, which has piled up more than $2 billion in debt.
The energy sector debt alone, based on our rough estimates, is more than $2 billion as we speak. We therefore call for a full audit of the entire energy sector so that we'll have a fair and firm appreciation of the state of indebtedness.
We have the latest, plus your warning of an imminent collapse of the energy sector.
Clearly, the sector is suffocating. The energy sector is choking. The energy sector is crumbling. The energy sector is collapsing. This government has been sleeping on the job.
Business, banks, and citizens measures are being instituted to deal with the surge in fraud cases in the sector.
And in sports, Takwa Insheim MC wrestles control of TNA Stadium from the National Sports Authority, accusing them of mismanaging the facility.
And later, Teo becomes the latest body to join the Senior Staff Association of Tertiary Institutions in the industrial action to force employers to pay up the allowances.
Student account office, and I urgently need some assistance, and they are not there, so I'm going back to Kassala.
I just realized they're on strike, and I would have to complete my payments if I can register for my courses.
We'll hear from the National Labour Commission. Plus, your comments here on Newsnight 055-111-1997. We have details for you right after this.
There's a business in every woman, from the young lady brimming with exciting and novel business ideas to the market queen managing her empire. There's the she architect, quantity surveyor, realtor, business consultant, crafting dreams into reality, and the multitasking mom, seamlessly blending work at home. The entrepreneur, meticulously checking stock. To the corporate woman, sealing deals on the move. Indeed, there's a business in every woman. Introducing Telecel Women in Business, our initiative to empower women-led and women-owned enterprises. Benefit from tailored activities, networking, business and technical support, free webinars, trainings, and more. To join this initiative, be a female-led business and a Telecel business customer. Visit telecel.com.gh/business to register now.
Telecel, connecting energies.
Day. Couldn't sleep at night. Mosquitoes will be whining, whining my ears. Bugging me all night long. Till I got a remedy. Now I'll be spraying them away with holy insecticide spray. Me, I go spray them away with holy insecticide spray. When I sleep, I sleep. Me down on my back with holy insecticide.
Mosquito quail, holy multi-purpose insecticide spray. Ghana Chrome Chrome. For bulk purchase, call 0302-681582. This advert is FDA approved.
Hello, my name is Mami Akia, an entrepreneur and a mother of two. My work keeps me busy most of the time and sometimes it takes me away from my family. But the safety and health of my family is very important to me. As a working mother, I cannot afford to take any chances when it comes to matters of health. That is why I signed up for a family healthcare plan from Equity Health Insurance. My family and I have access to over 700 hospitals, clinics, opticians, dentists, pharmacies and diagnostic centers across the length and breadth of Ghana. With Equity Health Insurance, I no longer have to worry about medical bills. Anytime a member of my family visits a hospital, Equity Health Insurance has got my family and I covered. What about you? Who has got you covered?
Call Equity Health Insurance on 050-660-7910 and talk to them about your family health needs now. Visit equityhealthinsurance.com for more information. Equity Health Insurance, here for you.
Ghana, it's a saying. Are you a human resource practitioner or business executive interested in digital transformation and AI adoption? Mark your calendars for the Global Conference on Human Resources in Africa. Join us on October 24th and 25th at the stunning Labadi Beach Hotel to explore the emergence and dynamics of AI and HR technologies in Africa. Hear from Johnny C. Taylor Jr., President and CEO of Sherm Global, and other distinguished speakers from around the world, including Dr. Francis Iduku, CEO of CIHRM Ghana, Irene Asari, Global HR Executive at the BBC, David Sagawa, Group HR Director at Equity Bank Limited, Dr. Najat El Mahadi, Chair of the Qatar HR Forum. Engage in interactive sessions, panel discussions, educational seminars, HR huddles, and more. And that's not all. On October 25th and 26th, join us for an exciting two-day excursion around Accra and Cape Coast. Sponsors and partners include Rigworld Solutions Limited, Access Pension Trust, Delta Airlines, Adansi Travels, National Labor Commission, Sherm Global, CIHRM Ghana, Sherm Forum Ghana, Strategic HR Professionals, and more. Visit gchrafrica.com to register today or call 055-408-1727 for more information.
It's a live your news night. This on Joy 99.7 FM. Send us a WhatsApp. 055-111-1997. And later, we'll let you in on the Joy That Greeted Joy News Impact Makers Award honoree in health and social welfare when he returned home to present his award.
And I'm not surprised that Heaven of Love was charged as winner on social service. They have impacted so much in my district.
Stay with us for that. But now, though, the Ghana Police Service is on a collision course with Democracy Hub organizers of the Fix the Country protest, who are set to embark on a three-day protest starting Saturday. The police on Wednesday secured an injunction against the protest, but backtracked later in the evening, saying it was going to provide security for the protest. In the last few hours, we have been hearing from the police who've been explaining why exactly they had to go to court to get the injunction. According to the Director of Public Affairs at the Ghana Police Service, ACP Grace Akrofiansa, they cannot allow the protest to happen at the Revolution Square, which is directly opposite the seat of the presidency, Jubilee House.
Following our assessment, police concluded that holding the demonstration at that location, that is the Revolution Square in front of the Jubilee House, could affect public order, endanger public defense, public safety, and public health. As a result, in the interest of public defense, public order, public safety, and the running of essential services, the police engaged the organizers, that is the Democracy Hub, to reconsider the location to a different place. However, the organizers refused to reconsider their proposed location and insisted that they will hold the protest at the Revolution Square in front of the Jubilee House. As a result, police was compelled to go to the court for a determination on the matter. That is the location for the proposed demonstration. Yesterday, 18th September 2024, the High Court granted an order to prohibit Democracy Hub from proceeding with the demonstration on the 21st to 23rd September at the Revolution Square. The Ghana Police Service has not stopped Democracy Hub from embarking on a demonstration from 21st to 23rd September as is going around.
She says the police is ready to engage.
So the law enjoins police to use all reasonable legal means possible to restrain them. But we are sure we wouldn't have to come to that because we are engaging with the organizers, and we are hopeful that a good compromise will be reached to enable them to do their protest and to enable police also perform our mandate of providing security, law and order. The last one was something to the effect that what if they claim they've not seen the letter? I don't think they will claim they haven't seen a letter. They have seen. I am not privy to that, so I will stay out of that. But we are sure we will engage with them, and whatever the outcome is, we will communicate same.
Well, so that's Grace Akrofi there with the police public affairs department. So, Evans, earlier today, we're yet to hear actually from the conveners of this particular demonstration as Democracy Hub, the Fix the Country movement, on this latest development, at least the clarification we are getting from the police. But you know, earlier there was this video that's been trending about some men swimming in this pool. Is it the biggest pool in Accra, in the center of Accra? That's the cathedral site. But the gentleman whom the police believes was the one that actually gave them that entrance or that access by pulling down the fence wall that was put around this particular, you know, the cathedral site. There's the statement in that regard from the Democracy Hub following the arrest of this particular person. And he says, we've just been informed that our colleague Ralph St. Williams, known widely as fellow Ghanaians, has been arrested at Kotoka International Airport while en route to Kumasi for mobilization activities in preparation for Saturday's Say No to Galamsey protest organized by Democracy Hub. So it says it appears that Ralph's arrest stems from his peaceful participation in Tuesday's Enough is Enough demonstration, where he highlighted government mismanagement by opening the National Cathedral pits, a site that has already cost Ghana $58 million. So at least they're admitting that indeed this particular action occurred, but they are strongly condemning this act and demand Ralph's immediate release. Furthermore, they are also insisting on an official apology from the authorities for this blatant attempt to silence critical voices, and they will be sending a formal petition to the IGP to address the situation, they say.
Also today, on the back and forth over the protest itself, we've been hearing from Democracy Hub and Fix the Country convener Oliver Baka Vomawa, who insists the police, they're simply abusing the laws regarding protests.
And if the police want to take any steps, they are required to apply for an injunction or notice so that we will both go before a judge, explain an alternative perspective to a judge, for a judge to issue a proper injunction. Now, you wait 2 days before a demonstration and apparently they've gotten to go for an ex parte injunction. Remind yourselves that the very first Fix the Country demonstration, they did the same thing. And we allowed them, we went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court quashed that injunction. We are back here again, you know, tolerating misconduct and disrespect for our constitution. Well, our role and our only way forward for us is that we would abide by the law and the constitution.
Which
it
means?
Is for the police hierarchy to determine whether or not they want to be bound by law. It is not our job to teach the police how to do. We can't. How are we even going about that?
You abide because by the law, which means
we would abide by the law, which is that the constitution protects the rights of people to gather in this manner, and that others that are made outside of the constitution are null and void as they are. That's our understanding of the law. And if they disagree, they can act unconstitutionally, and then we have the courts to be able to advise us, all of us, in the interest of the preservation of our democracy. That's all we're asking for. We have written to the police and we said to them that we are requesting for them to have an urgent crisis meeting tomorrow morning. We are waiting to hear back from them, because all we keep hearing is on media. They are playing to the media gallery. Like, we want them to speak to us. Now, there, if they insist that it is not possible to do this, where the alternative proposal is to have us have an excursion at the grounds of where was proposed to be the site of the National Cathedral, so that people can gather there. So we'll have the alternatives before them, and they can advise us on what is the best approach they want to go forward to.
That may lead to an arrest, as happened the other time.
Well, you know that happened the last time. They came back to come and deny the arrest, and that they knew that they acted unconstitutionally and illegally. We don't anticipate that in following the constitution, that other institutions will act unlawfully.
Bakavomo were there. At the heart of this whole protest is the campaign against illegal mining. And we've been hearing today from an association that is warning of mutations because of illegal mining. Tell us more.
Exactly, Evans. And so in that statement, they begin by actually condemning what they describe as barbaric, backward and insensitive activities, which seem to be the order of the day in many parts of the country. They are wading into this because, like you said, they say that whilst we start eroding the gains made when it comes to the water bodies and forest reserves, they are also threatening food security and sustainable economic growth in the long term. It says the ecosystem services, including food, pollination, water purification, ecotourism, medical resources, cultural heritage, etc. And that, of course, we obtain from biodiversity, especially wildlife, both terrestrial and aquatic species, including plants and their habitats, are enormous and are so important that the continuous destruction of them will come back to hurt us and our unborn generation in the long run. And says a country that taunts itself as the gateway to Africa and a cocoa and timber production hub should not be seen to be condoning such illegal activities that are depleting these important resources that have sustained the economy and prosperity of this country for several decades.
You know, in a country where we like wildlife as part of our meal and a part of our protein, they have a warning for all of us. As forests are cleared for agriculture, mining and human settlement, people encroach into previously undisturbed wildlife habitats. Now, they say that this increased proximity facilitates disease transmission from wild animals to humans, as seen as diseases like Ebola, HIV and COVID-19, which are believed to have originated from wildlife in areas impacted by human activities, with animals living in disturbed and stressed environments. Pathogens within these animals may mutate or evolve
more rapidly. Mm-hmm. And such mutations can lead to the emergence of new, potentially more deadly diseases that can affect human populations.
Exactly. And they go on to talk about our Green Ghana Day and how we ought to take this a bit more seriously. They have a call on President Akufo-Addo, the government, the Parliament of Ghana, the judiciary, the Forestry Commission, the EPA, and also the traditional authorities, religious groups and security agencies, and of course the media as well, to be able to deal decisively with this particular situation immediately. And we've also been hearing from some scientists also on this. The Council for Scientific Research, CSIR, and the Ghana Atomic Energy Commission are also the latest to join the campaign against the canker. The two institutions say the effects of illegal mining are far-reaching. Well, apart from the destruction of arable land, it's also putting the country's food production chain at a dangerous risk. We can hear from senior research scientist at the Seoul Research Institute of CSIR, Dr. Albert Kobina-Mensah.
You know, what happens is that it is first going to impact on the yield because of the fact that it will impact on the soil fertility and the productivity. But then it's also going to impact on the food that we are going to eat, what we call the food chain contamination. Mercury is one of the major elements that is used in the extraction of the gold in the small-scale mining sector. They handle the mercury haphazardly. It sort of washes down into the available soil. Now, research has shown that when the soil is contaminated with heavy metal, it concomitantly tends to accumulate in the food chain. This metal mercury accumulates in the fishes, and they make the fishes become magnified or biomagnified. Then now when human beings go and buy this particular fish, it also, the human beings get the effect from this toxic element. It is going to affect the fertility and the yield.
And they are also demanding a list of actions from government to stamp out illegal mining.
Why do we say a temporary ban? In our release, we talk about a ban that is temporary. Then once we take measures to make sure that things are done in clean or in a cleaner production, is it not surprising that we sort of give percentage of lands in a forest reserve for mining? How? Like, assuming we don't even know the implications, but how on earth do we sign an LI that sort of allows people to mine in the forest? I have never heard this before anyway. But you see, you just wonder the impetus, I mean, the effrontery, I mean, the boldness to even suggest I want to mine in Kakuma National Park. Another thing is that it is going to deplete the forest resources. But for us, we are researchers. The first key to achieving a cleaner production, a sustainable development, is what is called political will.
And that's a scientist there at the CSIR on the impact of Galamsey.
We can now speak to Oliver Bakavomawa. He's the convener of the Democracy Hub and the Fix the Country movement. Joins us right now on the line. Mr. Vomawa, thanks for your time here on Newsnight. Are you ready to reconsider the protests at the Revolution Square?
We are not aware of the reason or basis for which a reconsideration is invited on the issue. As you may be aware, as far back as July, we informed the police of this planned protest. We gave them our indication and willingness to engage and meet them. We have only heard, only recently, after 3 months, that the police have gone to court and obtained an ex parte injunction. And even as you are aware, we've been here before, right? It's not a new thing in our democracy. In fact, the very first thing the country protest, the same thing happened, and we went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court quashed this. We are still surprised that a high court judge would grant an ex parte injunction when this is completely offense law. But in any event, I can't speak much about something which we have no legal knowledge of, who's not been served on the matter. We've only heard media reports. So far, we have written to the police and asked for a meeting. We are yet to hear back from them, to be able to meet them to understand what is actually going on.
I mean, 48 hours away at Saturday, you plan to still go ahead with or without this meeting?
Yes, we have fulfilled every legal step that is required under law. In fact, we notified them. The law requires at least 5 days notice. We gave them 3 months notice in terms of our protest. So we have shown every indication that we want to abide by our constitutional regime and our legal framework on this. And as long as we are convinced that this is a constitutionally guaranteed and protected protest, then I think it is important that we abide by it. and go ahead with the protest as planned.
But you have an injunction that you have to deal with.
We have heard of an injunction, an ex parte injunction. Again, we are not aware of it. We know that ex parte injunctions in matters like this are void ab initio. Well, that's what the lawyers say anyway. And so as far as we are concerned, there's no legal injunction that is binding or stopping the protest from going forward. And we are going ahead with it. But I am a privy and I'm aware that it has been the position of Democracy Hub that ex parte injunctions or these kinds of injunctions undermine the constitutional rights of, or the constitutional freedom of assembly. And that even if there was one, they were still going to defy it and go ahead. Because the question has to be set up as to whether or not we are going to allow these kinds of incessant injunctions to have become a new form of police control of the freedom of assembly to continue. And so it's still going to go ahead irrespective of that.
And on any subject of the arrest of one of your colleagues, has he been charged with anything?
As far as we know, there have been no charges. We're still struggling to figure out his whereabouts. The police have been talking us quite a bit on this. We know that they have engaged the press, but they haven't spoken to the question of the arrest of our colleague Ralph. And we have been waiting to the police to demand a meeting with the Inspector General of Police for tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Hopefully that request will be granted for us to demand an apology and a release of the gentleman.
But surely you do not support vandalizing state property?
Surely you aren't alleging that you have evidence or information that he has vandalized state property. What we do know is that certain placards of the MPP with the Vice President Bawumia's picture on them were removed to grant access to the National Cathedral or the project, the National Cathedral that was supposed to have been built, for which we have dug a hole that cost the Republic $58 million. And he was acting under his constitutional right under Article 41 to protect the public purse. And that's what he took steps to show, to draw attention to. Surely you understand that form of protest that invites people and ridiculizes or brings officials to scrutiny. The instrumentality of the law to use language like vandalizing, I don't know what the state property is. Is it the fact that people were swimming in the pit that has been dug? That's what is vandalizing. I'm not so sure. But then again, as a lawyer, I can only wait to see what evidence the police have.
I mean, from what I read on the post that we shared, he broke a cordon, an official police cordon, which, as you know, offends the public or the act, with the police is citing as a basis for his arrest.
Oh, so the police have spoken to you then on this. We are not aware, in fact. What we do know that there's no official police cordon, and a cordon is not state property. And to go into a place that has been cordoned is not a distraction of state property. I think this word should not be used in a way that suggests that there was some act of vandalism or all kinds of words which are familiar in police states that are used to repress rights, right? The person gave access to people who went to ridicule the government by going to swim in the pit. That is what has happened here. There's no property destroyed. There's nothing. We can use that language. But that language, again, is reserved for the court. And we invite the police, if they feel that this is what is happening, to establish that in court.
And
but
briefly,
whatever the case may be, he's entitled to his rights.
And briefly, in this meeting you're asking for with the police, what are you seeking?
Well, one of the things that we have been consistently concerned about, you know, from last year till now, the police have obtained at least 5 injunctions against in the country in any form. We do not understand why everybody else in this country is entitled to protest by young people who want to mobilize. We are concerned about things like what has happened to RAP, which shows the consistent victimization of young people when they mobilize and attempt to use the power and the authority of the state to depress and also to oppress people. Those are concerns that we think are valid. And the way in which law enforcement is exercised to our disadvantage is something that we want to press them on.
Thank you, Oliver Bakavomo. He is the convener of the Fix the Country, and they're planning on protesting on Saturday. So live here on News Night is Enjoy 99.7 FM. I will be sharing your thoughts with the rest of the world pretty shortly. 055-11-11997.
Now, tonight, Evans, a minority is demanding a full-scale audit of the entire energy sector to reveal to the extent of its challenges that we're faced with. You know, we've been serializing a PURC statement or a letter that was written to the presidency and copied some ministers of state about the imminent collapse of the sector. At least they've been focusing on ECG, the cash waterfall mechanism, and all the issues that have come up, and whether privatization or partial privatization is the way to go when it comes to the electricity Electricity Company of Ghana. Thankfully, the minority spokesperson on energy, John Jinapo, joins us in studio. He's just finished with us on Pi FM, and then he's been accosted. You're welcome to Newsnight.
Thank you.
Okay, so really, you're demanding a full-scale audit of the entire energy sector, not just ECG. What exactly are you looking for?
Yes, because when you look at the entire energy sector, aside ECG's imminent collapse and losses, don't forget the latest ECG financial statement shows a loss of more than 10 billion cedis. In the upstream oil sector, our oil production is declining at an alarming rate. Within this short space of just about 4 years, oil production has declined by more than 32%. Most of the oil companies are exiting Ghana. Aker has left Ghana, ExxonMobil has left Ghana, and Anadarko has left Ghana. Eni is in court with Ghana. Our gas production is no more enough to meet our domestic thermal needs. And so Ghana government has had to procure light crude oil at about $40 million per month, and heavy fuel oil, which runs into more than $500 million per annum. Several judgment debts, GPGC, ENI, Sahara, almost all these judgment debts confronting us. Tor has not worked since 2021 and is rusting away. Gridco cannot even pay workers their salaries. And so it appears that the entire energy sector is crumbling.
Okay,
that is why we are calling
so
for this.
So it is a view that the PRC's concern with just ECG for now is not just the problem. It goes beyond the Electricity Company of Ghana.
Absolutely. Even Talo, we owe Talo over $100 million that's not been paid. ENI is called on the guarantee. WAPCO has just written to GMPC, threatening to shut down the pipeline for unpaid services in respect of the usage of the pipeline. So it's widespread and it is pervasive.
And the PRC in that communication, at least to the government, amongst others, was asking for a comprehensive look at the situation, at least with the Electricity Company of Ghana, and whether we should now look towards privatization, maybe partial or total. Is that the way to go for you?
If you recall, during our time, we dedicated $500 million from the Millennium Challenge Corporation to inject in the energy sector. And we wanted a private sector participation in the form of a concession, not an outright sale. We had made significant progress, but when the Akufo-Addo government took over, they changed the whole process, brought in their own close relatives. The vice president watered down the bank guarantee to an insurance guarantee and changed the condition precedent to condition subsequent. And you and I, we are living testimony of the PDS scandal that caused embarrassment to this nation, culminating the American government withdrawing $190 million. And so we've always held the view that you need the private sector participation in ECG, just as the PRC is saying. But it ought to be done in a transparent manner, in a fair manner, with the KPIs that we are talking about, and eventually reduce the aggregate technical and commercial losses. It was at 22, now it's risen to over 30%. And he cited some countries. They are doing 98% collection. ECG is doing less than 50%. That is unacceptable.
On a scale of 0 to 10, at least we've seen the PURC and the concerns they've raised. How bad is the situation? At least you are extending it to the entire energy sector. How bad is it?
My dear, it's really bad. It's really bad. And my worry is that if nothing is done, the sector would indeed collapse. On the back of the envelope, our analysis, rough estimate shows that you need about $2 billion in order to pay for energy sector-related debt. Even though ESLA has accrued over $40 billion to this government, the legacy debt is kept increasing because they were able to ring-fence only $6 billion. The remaining $4 billion has compounded to about $12 billion. And so it's really, really, really serious. And we are at a tipping point. If nothing is done urgently to reverse or arrest the situation, one day the entire system will collapse.
We're grateful. And that's John Jinapo, spokesperson, minority spokesperson on energy, joining us in the studios on this.
We can now speak to Dr. Ni Dakwa Asante, a former board member of the PURC, joins us with his own thoughts on this. Doc, thanks for your time here on Newsnight. Do you support this call for an audit of the entire energy sector?
Good evening, and thank you for that. I have no objection to an audit, but I guess there's a lot we already know that we can act on, and I guess we need to act on the information we have, even as we, if we need to do an audit, we conduct that audit.
You listen to the facts and you listen to the minority, and it's a lot of doom and gloom. Is it that bad?
It's probably worse than you all think. I mean, we've been heading this way for years, and it's just finally happening. And the facts are what they are. If you have any company that can collect or can have revenues which are less than 50% of its costs, just think about that. Revenue, less than 50% of your costs, and you call that a business? You call that viable? There's no business in the world that can survive on less than 50% of its cost as revenue. That company is essentially insolvent from day one. It's just that government has been pumping taxpayers' money into it for years, and now obviously we are in debt. We can't do it anymore. That's why we are where we are.
Privatization?
Well, privatization doesn't solve the problem. If we privatize and whoever takes it over continues to do what ECG is doing, of course nothing changes. The reason why we often say that privatization can solve the problem is that normally a private sector person will seek to make a profit and therefore will make sure he collects at least close to the 98% of the revenue that he needs. But for as long as we tolerate managers who collect less than 50%, year on year on year, private, public, whatever, a disaster. So the main thing is that we need managers who will do what is necessary to make the company solvent.
Dr. Ni Dakwa Asante, thank you very much. As a former board member of the PURC, so listening to Newsnight is on Joy 99.7 FM. And George Yafe is joining me with business. Hello, George.
Hi, Evans. And coming up in business, the banks are giving assurance that measures are being instituted to deal with the surge in fraud cases in the sector. And government promises to continue with programs aimed at growing the economy after the second quarter growth numbers reached 6.9%. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business.
The other day, I visited Kweku at his spunky new office to congratulate him on opening his business. And man, was I impressed. The business is just moving quick. The sales, customers, everything is just working seamlessly. The secret? He said,
it's MTN Business Broadband. In this fast-paced environment, we need fast and reliable internet to support all business types. No laggy online meetings, great download and upload speeds, impeccable business management systems, all inclusive. I mean, you can have it all.
Sharp! I signed on immediately.
To enable your business stay ahead and stay connected, make sure you're signed on to the best internet made just for businesses. MTN Business Broadband. Sign up today on broadband.mtn.com.ga. and manage your account on my MTN app. Call 0244-308-111 for more information. We are good together everywhere you go.
Hooray! Kingdom Books and Stationery Limited's back to school promotion is here with us once again. From August to September this year, Kingdom Books and Stationery Limited is giving a generous 10 to 20% discount on all school items like textbooks, pens, pencils, erasers, exercise books, and much more across all our branches in Accra, Tema, Kumasi, Takrade, Winneba, and Cape Coast. Parents, teachers, and students, please hurry while stocks last. For more information, call us on 0506-487-557 or 0302-764-209 or via email at info@kingdomgh.com. You can also visit our website www.kingdomstoreonline.com. Kingdom Books, where quality and affordability are both assured. Terms and conditions apply. Supposed to happen there.
We have a new leader in town, OBRNT. Amafo, me don't want to see when you say my baby, maybe mom more charcoal for whiter teeth. More charcoal. Not only that, maybe mom lemon. More lemon. Zinc for fresher breath. More zinc. And fluoride for stronger teeth.
Introducing the new President Charcoal packed with more power with a combination of charcoal and lemon for naturally whiter teeth. Grab yours now. This advert is FDA approved.
For too long, Ghanaians have been let down by empty promises and failed leadership. But now, a new dawn is rising in our beloved country. A sweeping change led by the visionary, Nana Kwame Bediakum, the leader of a new force movement. Nana Kwame Bediakum will embark on an unprecedented tour of all 276 constituencies across Ghana. He's bringing hope, economic freedom, and to put power back where it belongs, with you, the people. Be part of this historic revolution that will shape the destiny of our nation. Join the New Force Movement now and let's build a nation of our dreams. For more information, call 0531-100081. That's 0531-100081. New Force Movement. Eni daswa ba.
Star 712 Hash.
Luck is everywhere.
Come out and now for four. A dial is star 712 hash and found no regrets. A side comma investors are a striking gold. A comma health workers are a diagnosis of lack with precision. A side comma that tough guy who couldn't hold back his tears. They say a comma passionate farmer or also entering containing a joy. A fake to the seamstresser or turning a hard end stitches into a bundle of happiness. And now, a comma, if you say your next big win is right here.
Dial star 712 hash and join the luckiest winning celebration. From the 1st of July 2024, dial star 712 hash to keep buying tickets as a group, individual, or even as a community. Win loads of cash and prizes in the community draw or go for the grand draw on the 30th of November 2024. Unlock your luck with star 712 hash. Join the winning streak now.
The luckiest
star 712 hash.
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah. The luckiest.
You're welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, banks have given the firm assurance that measures are being taken to deal with the rise in fraud cases in the sector. It follows the 2023 Bank of Ghana report, which showed surge in fraud cases, most of them having bank staff involved. But speaking to Joy Business after the annual general meeting of the Ghana Association of Banks, President Kofi Adomako noted that the results will be seen very soon.
So banks are investing heavily in automation to reduce fraud. We are also embarking on tightening policies, and that will ensure that some of this fraud is kept under wraps, particularly because, you know, banks are going the technology way now. And so we are opening up ourselves to all kinds of platforms, all kinds of people, all kinds of systems. And therefore, it's very important that we pay our attention to cyber security. It is true that a lot of these frauds also appear. But more importantly, as a banker, you know that we are honorable people, and fraud should not be the order of the day, particularly with banks now. So we are tightening the way we recruit. It's taking a little much longer to recruit these days because we want to know who we are recruiting. We are also ensuring that we are training and investing in our staff and across the banks, all of this. We've also put fraud monitoring systems to identify fraud as quickly as we can when it occurs. But the agenda is to make it more difficult for fraud to occur. So the strategy is a preventive strategy rather than a reactive one.
Kofi Adomako is the president of the Ghana Association of Banks. Let's still stay on the sector because Public Bank has given the firm assurance that it will resume dividend payment to shareholders from 2026. It is coming after it announced of no dividend payment for shareholders last year based on their performance for 2022.
2023. Now, speaking to Joe Business after its 33rd annual general meeting of the bank, Managing Director Benjamin Jukwunuku expressed optimism about the bank's future.
If you look at 2022, we made loss because of the DDP. But 2023, we posted a huge profit, 145 million. So you see that because we're able to manage our non-performing loan, our net interest income was very healthy. This bank was taken over in 2015, and a lot of things must be done. And that was done. And if you look at the foundation that we have built, I believe that we are in the trajectory to declare dividend. As I told my shareholders, that 2025, I believe that we'll post a healthy income to be able to declare dividend in 2026. So we are on course of making that happen. And it's a promise that I made to my shareholders.
Benjamin Jukwunuku spoke to Joy Business at the bank's 33rd annual general meeting, where the bank actually recorded impressive profit after tax of 145 million Ghana cedis, as well as assets hitting 1.9 million growth in the deposits. Now, meanwhile, the managing director, that is the Republic Bank's, that is David Adua Sean, has been re-elected as the board chair of Republic Bank Ghana. Now, government has given the firm assurance that it will continue to implement programs that would help sustain the current economic recovery. The assurance is coming after economic growth reached 6.9%, the highest in a long while. There is more in this report.
The government maintains that these proposed measures should be seen as one of the surest way to help push the economy to full stability in the coming months. According to the Finance Ministry, government will continue to give priority to programs that result in what it describes as inclusive growth. The ministry, in a statement issued today, for instance, argued that they see the Planting for Food and Jobs initiative as one of the programs that will also help in turning this around for the economy. Government is hopeful that, together with the IMF program and completion of the domestic debt restructuring program, Ghanaians will soon be experiencing the gains that comes with the recovery of the economy.
And that is a Business Desk report. Meanwhile, economist Dr. Patrick Osumi says it is still early days yet for government to start celebrating these numbers, despite the significant progress made so far.
It's definitely the case that the growth rate that we've seen is much higher than most projections, and it's the strongest growth we've seen in a long time. And I think the other thing to note is that in the first quarter, when we said it was 4.7, we did see about 6 of the 20 subsectors have seen a contraction. This time, the number of sectors that have seen a contraction has reduced. I think it's only 3 subsectors that saw contractions. But I think to jump on that, to sing the song that we are in recovery, I think it's too much of a stretch to put too much emphasis on that. Let's wait and see how we end the year. But definitely, this is a positive number. I think, you know, there are some sectors that government play a prominent role. I think if you begin to disaggregate by sectors, then you will see. I think one thing that I will highlight that probably we might give some credit to government is the electricity production sector.
And Patrick Osumi is an economist. Now, Managing Director of Vivo Energy Ghana, Jean-Michel Alandes, has stated that his office intends to support commercial drivers by ensuring their safety through its Fit to Drive campaign. The campaign, which is part of his corporate social responsibility, seeks to educate over 1,000 commercial drivers across the country. He spoke to Joy Business at the second edition of the campaign, which was held at the New Plan Station here in Accra.
Health, safety, security are part of our DNA. We cannot compromise on that. So this has always been our focus in our company for years. We want to continue, we want to accelerate, we want to put speed on the safety and security. We lose too many people on the roads. So our transporters, they deserve our interest, they deserve our focus. So there is no way of compromising on the safety and the security and the health.
And that's the Managing Director of Energy Ghana, Jean-Michel Alandes, and MFA on PM Express Business Edition at 9 p.m. tonight. We are engaging the Chief Executive of the Ghana Association, or the Ghana Chamber of Mines, as we look at the state of Ghana's gold industry. I mean, they are even some more pushing for a total ban
on mining, whether that is justified or not, and what are the push factors that are driving the young ones into Galamsey, and what actions they need to be taken to actually address this problem. It's 9 p.m. on Joy News and all our social media platforms on Joy News as well tonight.
Joe, thank you very much. We can do sports now, and Ms. Bao is here. Hello, Ms. Bao.
Hello, Evans. It's really some trouble brewing between the National Sports Authority and the Municipal Assembly of Takwa Insiem, because the Municipal Chief Executive Officer of that government agency, Benjamin Kisi, has vowed to remove the National Sports Authority officials from holding themselves as managers of the new Takwa TNA Stadium, following widespread concern over the maintenance of the $16.3 million facility. Now, according to a statement that was issued by his outfit, he makes the point that the National Sports Authority, since they took over the newly built facility, there have been some concerns about the washroom and a few other facilities in the stadium. And this has motivated him to put together a committee which is going to oversee the management of the facility. However, the National Sports Authority has denied the allegations of poor maintenance of the facility and reiterated their control of the facility. Here is Head of Public Relations Charles Omofa reiterating that the facility is still under the control of the National Sports Authority.
I can say this on authority that the facility is still under the management of the National Sports Authority. And so it's a surprise to us that, you know, the NCU is saying that they are taking over the management of the facility. And we are the ones managing the facility. The sports act, we've always been managing, you know, managing state sponsors, sporting facilities across the country. And TNA Park is no exception. It's always have been, you know, under the management of the sports authority. So this whole brouhaha, I think these are two state agencies, you know. I mean, sports authority and city. So I know in the coming days we'll be able to sit down and have a resolution to this issue.
Well, that's Charles Omofa, Head of Public Relations at the National Sports Authority. Even so, hearing that the Ghana Football Association, the Minister of Youth and Sports, and a few other stakeholders are set to appear before the Sports Committee of Parliament to answer questions relating to the maintenance of the various stadia in the country. And just on the Black Stars, they have experienced a notable decline in the latest FIFA World Ranking due to the, you know, disappointing performance in September. The team has moved from 64th ranking across the world to 70th. That's dropping some 6 places in the latest ranking. So we wait to see how the Black Stars will fare come October when they host Sudan in the 2-leg qualifier of next year's AFCON. Evans.
Ms. Bell, thank you very much. And you're still live here on News Tonight. It's on Joy 99.7 FM. Now, thousands of young people earlier today gathered at the Black Stars Square hoping to secure a rare employment opportunity. The event, organized by the Ghana Report in partnership with the Youth Employment Agency, is aimed at providing skills and over 5,000 jobs for young people across the country. Several private companies and security agencies are stationed at the venue, ready to employ individuals that satisfy that criteria. Kennedy C. has more.
The fair, according to organizers, serves as a significant platform for equipping young Ghanaians with both skills and job opportunities across various sectors. It brings together a diverse array of private companies and security agencies, each stationed at the venue to evaluate and recruit individuals who meet their specific criteria. CEO of the Ghana Report, Rashida Sani, was hopeful the fair will help reduce the unemployment rate among the youth when it concludes next month.
It's going to be devoid of protocol lists. This is what we're trying to cut, the usual protocol list. You hear that there are no jobs, yet you find people in organizations at all times. How do they find themselves in there? Protocol list. And this is what we are walking away from, by ensuring that we bring average, ordinary Ghanaians who do not have ankles to call heads of institutions to come here and gain employment meritoriously.
Deputy CEO of the Youth Employment Agency, Ibrahim Bashiru, indicated his outfit's commitment to creating jobs for young people, hence the partnership to organize this fair.
It's a very robust platform
devoid of politics, devoid of protocol. Once you come here and you assess yourself and look at the area that you are interested and you have the needed skills, you are given the opportunity to do your job.
Some of the young job seekers who were presented with work equipment expressed their gratitude.
I'm so happy to get this machine.
With this machine, what do you intend to do? Start your own business or something?
Yes. Let me say, I'll come to be a better fashion designer in future with this. If not this, I can't do anything, but I'm happy to get this.
I'm happy. It will help me do more because I wasn't having one at first. So I'm happy. I'm happy. Mm-hmm. I get jobs. Like, I can do, I will do it on my own. I can use it because I have one already, so I'll be using it. Yeah.
By facilitating direct interactions between job seekers and employers, the Ghana Report Jobs and Entrepreneurship Fair aims to reduce the youth unemployment and provide tangible pathways to career development.
And Kenneth Dishes filed that report. Now, the Boku West District of the Upper East Region erupted in jubilation as Joy News Impact Makers Award honoree Samuel Nana Bekai Jirako returned home to officially present his award to the people as dedicated to his life to serving the community. Now, the founder of the Haven of Love Children's Foundation was honored with the prestigious Joy News Impact Makers Award in the health and social welfare category, recognizing his selfless contributions to the community. Albert Sori has more in this report.
Samuel Nana Bekai Jirako's journey began in 2015 during his national service, where he developed a passion for giving back to the community. He mobilized friends to embark on various projects, eventually establishing the Haven of Love Children's Foundation in 2018. The foundation has since dedicated itself to community service, especially in organizing yearly health screening exercises and eventually becoming a beacon of hope for the less privileged in the Boku West and surrounding districts. Samuel was nominated for the Joy News Impact Makers Awards and in June this year was honored in the health and social welfare category at the awards ceremony. He has finally returned home to Zebila to officially present the award before the people he has served through the Haven of Love Children's Foundation. Daniel Anania Atampuba is the district chief executive for Boku West.
And I'm not surprised that Haven of Love was charged as winner on social services and health because they have impacted so much in my district.
Members of the community praised Samuel Nana Bekai Jirako for his unwavering commitment to improving their lives.
We want to tell Joy News that God will bless them for giving this opportunity to our master.
He's very inspiring to me personally because when he started this foundation, we didn't know where we were going to. He said that when we have a program, he said, me, do this, and we thought he was stressing us. We didn't know the vision that was ahead, but today I've realized what he saw.
For Samuel himself, the Joy News Impact Makers Award can only spare him to do greater things for the community.
With this award, the award has shown to us and has given us visibility, and we appreciate Joy Impact Makers Award team for this honor. I believe that if the young ones here have that same opportunity, we can as well get the next tech genius coming from the northern part of Ghana.
The occasion was also used to call for peace in the Boko West district. For Joy News, Albert Sori, Zebila.
And that's impact makers doing things in their community. Now, the district court in La has ordered police prosecutors to furnish it with a hospital report on the actual age of the O'Reilly school student accused of killing his mate, Edward Bokete Saki. Edward was killed over who had the wealthier parent. Now, in court today, Chief Inspector Paul Oseje, holding brief for the substantive prosecutor, indicated that steps have been taken to make the report ready, but asked the court for a week adjournment to make it available. But the judge, Ajua Benasu Asumedu Sechi, denied this request. She asked him to make the report available in court tomorrow, adjourning the case. But family members of the deceased are not happy. Here's his father, Enoch Bote Saki.
There is an issue concerning the age of the boy.
And then the prosecutor said it has been already checked at the hospital, so they'll get a report probably today or tomorrow. So the court has adjourned to tomorrow, 1 o'clock. But the whole thing that is happening here, I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it because I can see they are not playing fair game with the family. And then if they try to do this, I don't think we'll hear good news, because justice must be done. All that we're fighting for is justice. Not that somebody have murdered my son and I'm trying to fight for justice, and then the police, I don't know what is happening. So we all wait for tomorrow and see the next thing that will come up. The reason why I think so, every student, when you go into school, I think the school authorities will ask of your age. Your age is on your, what do you call it? Your everything, the school surely know your age. So I don't think age should be a problem here, or age should be a thing that we should struggle for. Because my son, I have his birth cert. The school have all information concerning my son. So why now they are trying to talk about age? Me, I'm not getting it.
A tragic story indeed.
And that's our show for tonight here on Newsnight on Joy 99.7 FM. Also on Love 99.5 FM on myjoyonline.com. I was going to say we have Living Word, but we are coming up next with Personality Profile with Lexis Bill. You want to stay for that?
Ghanaians have been let down by empty promises and failed leadership, but now a new dawn is rising in our beloved country, a sweeping change led by the visionary Nana Kwame Bediakom, the leader of a new force movement. Nana Kwame Bediakom will embark on an unprecedented tour of all 276 constituencies across Ghana. He's bringing hope, economic freedom, and to put power back where it belongs, with you, the people. Be part of this historic revolution that will shape the destiny of our nation. Join the New Force Movement now and let's build a nation of our dreams. For more information, call 0531-100081. That's 0531-100081. New Force Movement. Enidaswaba.
Electroland Ghana Limited is back with a massive back-to-school promo. Visit EGL showrooms and authorized dealer stores across Ghana for best offers on Samsung, Media, TCL, and Nasco products. Get a free portable audio speaker with the 50-inch Nasco Android UHD Smart TV for just 4,999 Ghana cedis. Nasco AC starting 3,699 Ghana cedis with free air cooler. Experience UHD 4K Smart Android TV with TCL for 6,499 Ghana cedis and receive a free electric kettle. Cook up a storm with the Media 20-liter solar microwave for only 999 Ghana cedis and say no to cold meals. Get a free cake mixer with the 4-burner Media gas cooker. Call 0503-159-739 for more information. Electroland Ghana Limited, home of electronics and appliances. Terms and conditions apply.
This month of July, Aquaba Magic is taking you on an entertainment roller coaster. Endo Season 2 is here live. Watch how the drama unfolds as Beffy struggles to rescue her daughters this and every Monday at 9 p.m. That's not all, though.
watch Nana Koto, Tailor Made, Aketechua and the Lankai Show Season 2. Tune in to Aquaba Magic DSTV Channel 150 and GoTV Channel 102. Aquaba Magic, Ghana's most loved storyteller.
Media freedoms must not be taken for granted. They have to be constantly justified, constantly reaffirmed, and constantly strengthened. We need the media badly in a growing democracy. There must be the trade of ideas when it comes to the politics, and the attacks on journalists certainly must stop. As a lawyer who defends journalists who have been assaulted, I can say that the circumstance is worrying and it has to stop. Defend media freedoms. I am Samson Ladi Anyenini.
The Mankwa's celebration of his Grace Peace concert, the 17th edition, theme Peace Reigns. Let love resound in every heart, a joyful sound, His grace abounds. Forever true, peace reigns in me and you. Come, let's celebrate 17 years of strong harmony. Where love belongs, peace reigns at the celebration of his Grace Peace concert. Performing live, Bernard Mankwa, Dave the Music Box, Selassie Brown, Roderick Ejekum, La Famille, TY Crew, and the Presence Band. Date Sunday, September 22nd, 2024. Time 6 p.m. Venue National Theatre. Rate free. Sponsors InnoLink, Rayroy, New Professionals, Controlite, Innovate, Media Partners, Adom FM, Joy FM, Hits FM, Asempa FM, Adom TV, Joy Prime, 3 Music TV, Onya TV, Onya FM, 3 FM, GH1 TV, Star FM, TV Africa, Peace FM, and OK FM.
Listen to Personality Profiles with Lessons Bill. Get inspired, get nourished, and grow to be the best that you want to be. Personality Profile and 99.7 FM. I love it.
Hi, this is Mr. Simons. Keep listening to Personality Profile with Lexis Bell. This is the program that inspires you and brings you very close to your role models.
I'm Vera Kwakufi, current affairs editor of BBC Africa. Keep listening to Lexis Bill on Personality Profile on Joy 99.7 FM. You could just be able to hear the best piece of advice that sets you on the course to success.
Hello, Ghana. My name is Senyo Hosi, CEO of the Ghana Chamber of Bulk Oil Distributors. Keep listening to Personality Profile with Lexis Bill because it delivers the value that sets you apart for success.
Hi, this is Nadia Ntano, Miss Ghana 2013. Keep listening to Personality Profile with Lexis Bell every Thursday at 7 p.m. on Joy FM and be inspired.
Hi, my name is James Ebo White, or everyone calls me Uncle Ebo White. You know, what you'll be 5 years from now depends on only two things: the books you read and the people you meet. On Personality Profile, you meet the kind of people you meet. you need to meet to make your transition to your greatness. You want a program that would help you, inspire you, motivate you. Why bother to turn to other channels? Just stay here on Personality Profile and you get all the inspiration you need.
The King Kong banging on your chest. You could beat the world, you could beat the war, you could talk the guy, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock, yeah. You can move a mountain, you can break rocks. You could be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you can find yourself.
Standing in the hall of fame. You can run the mile, you can walk straight through hell with a smile.
You could be the hero, you can get the gold. Breaking all the records they thought never could be broke.
Yeah,